Okay, we'll go ahead and begin our village board meeting and welcome everybody. This is our regularly scheduled board meeting of February 9th, 2026. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Cascatello?
Here.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
McConnell?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
President Odusi?
Here. So if I can ask you all to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, we have a very, very special presentation. I'm going to ask the Chief Gardner, Deputy Chief, to come on up and tell us a little bit about this special lady.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's an exciting evening here in River Forest. We're going to be presenting the Guardian Award to one of our residents. Before we do that, I'd like to explain, give a little background on what the great thing that Amelia did. So on January 7th, 2026, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the River Forest Fire Department was called for the report of smoke and alarm sounding near Gale and Madison. Crews were called and responded to find that the attached garage was in fact on fire. The unit was being renovated and the owners were not in the structure at the time. Rags from the renovation and other debris had ignited in the garage in the attached garage and were directly below a hole in the drywall ceiling that was open because of renovations. However, neighbors next door were fortunately home and awake. Had the fire gone unreported, it would have surely spread to the unit above and potentially to the occupied units on either side, or even worse. Fortunately, there was a guardian angel, Amelia, that was no stranger about what to do in the event of smoke or fire. Amelia alerted her parents to the smell of smoke. Her parents then alerted the fire department. 5-year-old Amelia, her twin siblings, Olivia and Oliver, who are also here tonight, and her parents, Elizabeth and Richard, who are in the audience, along with some of Amelia's teachers from Lincoln School and family and friends. So 5-year-old Amelia, her twin siblings, Oliver and Olivia, and her parents, Elizabeth and Richard, were able to evacuate the structure and allow responders to extinguish the fire and ensure that all her family could return to their home safe for a night's rest. Amelia had visited the fire station recently as part of the annual curriculum of Lincoln School. During the tour, students are educated on evacuation, 911, and other safety tips that are given by the firefighters. Her training paid off as she was as calm and collected during the evacuation process from the home as the fire was extinguished. This award is to commemorate the actions of Amelia and the Huggins-Galati family on a night that their daughter became a River Forest Guardian.
Yay.
So congratulations, Amelia. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Woo!
I'll take a They're waving right now. Oh, yeah, yes.
3, 2, 1, raise. All right.
Chief, if I could.
But wait.
Okay.
There's more.
There's more.
We will also be coordinating a fire truck ride to school for Amelia. So we'll be working with the parents to arrange that. And also, as you guys leave tonight, see Lieutenant Paul Ziprich back there. There's another a little bag of some fire department swag for Amelia.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yay.
So if I could, Amelia's my neighbor. At 3 o'clock in the morning, we live in a townhouse. At 3 o'clock in the morning, this was all going on and I slept through everything. So, but Mr. Gilmore, who's Amelia's neighbor, they left for Florida and they're out of town. But he was the one who said when he was the Fond du Lac County Sheriff, this was recognition that they did. And I approached the chief and his team and they carried it forward. So Mr. Gilmore, thank you very much. Amelia, thanks a lot. Next time, wake me up, okay?
Oh, great job. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. And congratulations. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Deputy Chief. Yep. All right. Yay. Now you got to go take real pictures. Aw, look at that. Yeah. That is really kind of cool that they did that. Yeah. I think she's a teacher. And Megan, is she a teacher, the blonde? No. Yeah, she's a teacher. Yeah. Did you? What? Maybe she did. She teach her. Well, she's a teacher. Yeah. No. No. Cynthia. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Congratulations again. Thanks for showing. If we can get, are you sure? Margie's here. Heck. None. All righty. All right. Now there are no citizens' comments. So, and you put it right on. Thank you. All right. So we'll start with the elected official comments, announcements, and if maybe I could start with you, Erica, this evening, if you don't mind.
Yes. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I don't have any other comments this evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Lisa?
Sure. I guess I'll
reiterate congrats to Amelia and thank you to the village staff, our community members and 531 partners for 3 great community feedback sessions about the proposed development at Madison and Ashland. Much feedback was provided through a lot of good dialogue, and it did take, again, a lot of time for the village. I believe there were 2 4-hour sessions and 1 2-hour session. So again, thank you, because those were above and beyond, I guess. Well, I shouldn't say above and beyond, because that is your job, but it was outside of regular hours and things like that. I want to say happy Valentine's Day. And last but not least, I don't know if anybody watched the football game yesterday. I am certainly not a big football fan, of, as people know, but Robert Spillane, as opposed to announcing his college, announced Fenwick High School as where he went to school. So I think that's great. Congrats to Fenwick for all that exposure. Thanks to, he didn't win. His team didn't win, but he won by being there as a captain. His wife's from River Forest, too. So great all around.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Chris?
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I attended the West Central Municipal Conference. I know Kathy Ducey did, Lisa Gillis, Rosa Castellano, Jessica, See, Jack, with two hats, Luke, and the chief of police and our chief of fire department also attended that. It's a great event in terms of we have some of our federal representatives, state representatives, local representatives providing us their background and in terms of their experience of what's going on in terms of legislation priorities that hopefully will benefit us, et cetera. So obviously we collected a list of the legislation, but just being around and hearing from people directly is a good benefit. So you make that political context, so to speak, if you want to call it that. So it was a good event.
So, yep. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rose?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Katie?
I too want to congratulate Amelia and acknowledge how nice it was to have so many of her teachers here supporting her and acknowledging what she had done. I think that's really important and will stay with her in particular because of the fire department staff and the teachers being here acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. I want to offer my sympathies to the family of Frank Paris, a former village president who passed away since our last meeting. And congratulations to village administrator Matt Walsh and his wife Maggie on the birth of their son since we last met. Yeah. That's all I have.
Thanks, Katie. Megan?
Yes to all of that. A lot of amazing things. I've always enjoyed watching the kindergartners walk over for their field trip to the fire department, and it obviously pays off. So thank you for hosting them. I wanted to call out the Public Works Department. Some of the numbers in the report stuck out to me this year. January was cold and icy. It was bad. They responded to 8 snow and ice events for a cumulative 87.75 response hours, 392.75 labor hours, 232 tons of salt, and 13,575 gallons of brine that were applied to our village streets in advance of the snow and ice events. I think this is a really important statistic to pair with another one, and that is that our EMS responded to only 7 traffic accidents in January. So thank you to everyone who's involved in that, keeping everyone safe through some difficult weather.
Yeah. Thank you, Megan.
I just want to I want to tag on to Katie's comment about the Paris family, Gail and family. Our hearts go out to her. Frank was kind of an innovator around here. If he hadn't been around here for a long time, you know, Frank was the guy who negotiated the first garbage contract that got us, you know, what they used to call valet garbage service. Frank was also was heavily involved in the development at Harlem and Lake. And a lot of other things. So he was a really nice guy and a great neighbor, and he'll be missed. Also, congratulations to Matt and Maggie. Also, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jessica, Village Hall is closed next Monday for President's Day.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so the staff's going to have a little 3-day weekend, so well-deserved. So, and again, thank you for all the efforts on our public public open houses on Madison and Ashland. Look forward to more work on that and from the team. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob. And yeah, I will ditto everyone's comments. And thank you, Megan, for pointing out those statistics, because I know the public works work incredibly hard. And no matter how hard they work, I mean, someone's going to be somewhat dissatisfied, but I know, and you know, by looking at the statistics and looking at our team, that I think they're doing the best, not only what they can, but I think they're an outstanding staff. And so thank you for pointing that out, because it's been a rough January for sure. And congratulations to Matt and Maggie on the birth of their boy, Sean, I guess is what they named him. Saying that, I like to ask all the trustees and everybody to be patient with the team, as you know, Matt is now on his paternity leave. So we're going to, you know, we got a lot to pick up the pieces on, but I've got, as you all have, confidence that this team will continue doing the best that they can do. So nothing further. So I'd like to go ahead and go on to the consent agenda. That's okay. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda A through K.
I'd like to ask that we pull item 6H from the consent agenda.
Okay, H, okay.
I'd like to ask to pull 6I.
Yep, okay.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through G and J through K.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions regarding those items? Hearing none, then Rosa, if you could take the vote. Well, read out loud the items and then take the vote.
Item 6A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, January 26, 2026. B, Administration Department report. C, monthly department reports. D, accounts payable, January 2026, $2,713,874.84. E, proclamation commemorating Black History Month. F, proclamation recognizing National Engineers Week, February 22nd through 28th. G, updated mutual aid agreement, Illinois Public Works Mutual Aid Network resolution. J, award of contract, concrete water reservoir rehabilitation project construction, Era Valdivia Contractors Inc., $177,980. K, award of contract, concrete water reservoir rehabilitation project construction engineering oversight, Dixon Engineering Inc., $36,650. Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. If I can get a motion to approve item H on the consent agenda, then we'll talk about it.
I move to approve the agreement amendment with Vera Mobility for the automated traffic enforcement systems.
I second.
Okay. Okay. Questions?
So I pulled this item because when I saw it on the agenda, because of recent issues, I did a little search of the company and found reports of customer complaints, customers being municipalities, about negative experiences with their billing system and customer service and citation processing errors involving citation numbers being duplicated or misnumbered. And the reports talked about how the municipalities that experienced this had to incur significant overtime costs with their local municipal courts. And I don't know what our experience has been with Vera Mobility, because this is the renewal of a contract, correct?
It's
okay. I have a couple questions. One is, what has our experience been with the complaints that I read about, and can we build something into this renewal agreement to account for this eventuality of this, so that that's not something that we have to incur the overtime cost for these errors if that's something that we do experience?
Great question.
Yep.
And fortunately, we don't have the same, we haven't had the same experience. We haven't had duplicate citations or issues like that, that we've had to have people work overtime or address. There's always, going to be very small issues, but we've never had any large issues like that. And I believe, as far as the contract goes, I know we discussed at length different measures to make certain that we didn't have any issues. Most of our discussion had been around the equipment, making sure the equipment was up to par and that it calibrated properly so that we were getting the benefit of having the devices installed. Mm-hmm. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. And I know that what's in our packet, I guess there's two documents in our packet. One is the renewal, which is short and has, just the updates in it. And then there's did we have our original contract in there also that it's amending?
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't go through the entire original contract to see if that had any language in there that protected us if we experienced these citation errors that some of the other municipalities have experienced also?
To be honest with you, I can't say 100% if it's in the original contract or not off the top of my head. I'd have to read it and get back to you. But at the same time, like I said, we discussed a lot of different issues. Again, most around equipment, but because we haven't had the quality issues as far as the citations being misissued or improperly sent out or whatever the instances were that you had read about.
I think it was numbers being duplicated and misnumbered. So
yeah, we haven't had issues like that at all. So I don't think it really had come up at all. It was more focused on making sure we had the best equipment and the best calibration for our locations.
Okay. Well, the article was from last week. So I don't know if it's been, it's an issue that has come up in the last year for some other municipalities. So I think we should keep an eye on it.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on it. And thank you for letting us know about it as well.
And there's one other question I have about the amendment on page 120 of the packet, section 2A, in the third line down, there might be a word that's missing or a number that's missing. The fee covers a system that enforces up to four lanes and up to signal phases. I'm thinking there should be a certain number of signal phases there, but it's not.
Where did it say again? Where?
No, it says four lanes.
You want to speak into the microphone?
Up to four lanes.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. That potentially is linked to the decision from the Illinois Department of Transportation for them to make that determination on the signal phases.
So what do we do about a missing word in a contract?
The fee. What word do you think is missing, Katie? I guess I'm missing. Oh, a number of signal phases.
Do you believe that?
What I would say to that is currently that signal, well, there's currently one signal for sure that's under construction and under their maintenance currently, the one on North and Harlem. So once they actually finish up the project, because it's currently under construction, we'll have a final determination. Okay, this many signal phases. I don't believe that the number of signal phases would substantially impact the effectiveness or the use of that equipment. Like that it wouldn't make a big difference in terms of the contract.
Yep. I don't know enough about the technical aspects of this to have an opinion about it, but I'm not really comfortable having a contract that doesn't, that has a word missing. So whatever the right thing to do is, we should do so that the contract is clear. Any suggestions?
Yeah, I think we find it out. I mean, you know, I mean, that's fair enough. I mean, we'll find out how many signal phases, and then we'll, you know, we can approve it and then approve based on finding that out and then coming back to the board.
Jack, can you explain what a signal phase is?
Yes. So the signal phase is your red light, how long a red light term is or phase, how long a green light, yellow, left turn, you know, if there's a right turn, there's, so all of those are considered a phase in the, you know, the process or that, you know, going through an intersection. So in terms of signal phases, depending on the intersection, there could be different things going on. A left turn, a right turn, you know, how long they decided to make the yellow. There is pretty much a standardized length for yellow.
When you say they, who is the
IDOT? The traffic signal engineers, whoever's doing the review of the intersection. The traffic engineers that are doing the whole study. Because the other part that IDOT's going to do is they're going to look at all of the signals before and after to sort of coordinate and sync them so that you don't have a situation where, oh, stop, oh, stop. They want to sort of make it so it's synced all the way through.
It's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah. So we will, the motion here is for the village administrator or his designee to execute the agreement. So we will definitely, if you all decide to vote on it this evening to pass it, I will make sure that this, if it is in fact missing a number, I will follow up with all of you and let you know.
Lance, can you look at the indemnification clause 18.1? In the original contract, just to see if that covers us on the other concern Katie had?
I can, yeah.
Thanks.
Chief, if you could also just explain, there are a couple of questions. One of them is, can you summarize what the process is for them collecting the data, how it gets sent to the police department, what the police department does, and then what happens with that ticket ultimately, like how it gets to our...
Sure. So a person, a motorist is driving at the area of, let's say, North Avenue in Harlem, where one of the devices is located, and they fail to stop for the red light, or they turn on red, whatever the situation might be. Let's just say they're traveling eastbound and they don't stop for the red light. The system takes a photo of the car and the violation, makes a video of the violation, and that's then sent to Verra Mobility. Verra Mobility collects them as into a large pool of the incidents that occurred during a weekly period. Then they review them, physically review them with human beings at Verra Mobility. Those violations that Verra Mobility personnel still believe that there were actual violations are then forwarded to our staff. And our traffic analyst then reviews each of the videos and the violations, makes determination whether it was a violation or it was close, you know. And we err on the side of caution if it's something that wasn't obviously or isn't clearly a violation. It's kind of like watching the Super Bowl, not clear and articulable evidence to overturn the citation, then the citation is issued. Then Verra Mobility sends the citation notice to the violator. The violator then hopefully pays the citation. If they don't and they want to contest the ticket, they contact the village, the police department, and they are given an opportunity to come to a local administrative hearing where an administrative judge hears the case and makes a determination of liable or not liable. The other option is, like I said, they can pay the violation and then ultimately either be found liable or not liable, pay the violation or not pay the violation. And then last, a person could completely ignore it, the violation. It goes through the process and then ultimately that violation gets sent to collections for collection of the unpaid fine.
Got it.
I think that covers it.
Yes, that does cover it. And that's why it sounds like there are two rounds of humans taking a look at.
Correct. That. Yeah.
So that's good to hear. The other part of this that I wasn't quite sure of is it sounds like we are paying $3,700 a month for this process. And I was curious to see how much we actually make in fines, how much revenue we get. So,
off the top of my head, I don't know.
I'm the numbers woman.
Now it's the finance director.
It varies right now because one of the cameras is not it's down, the one at Harlem and Lake. So on average, it can vary from anywhere from $3,500 to $6,500 per week. Each camera, so we're only paying one $3,700 fee right now per month because the one camera is not in working. So, but it varies. It depends on the week, the time of year also.
That's helpful.
Also, I just want to correct you. It's Harlem and North because of the construction. You said
correct.
Harlem.
Sorry. Lake. Yes. I apologize.
No worries. Okay.
Thank you.
Are we then satisfied with?
So
did you want to look
at
the
indemnity? I've taken a look. There are a number of relevant provisions. The indemnification really isn't helpful because that's where you're indemnifying if we get sued because of something they do. Those are fine based on what I'm looking at. Their Article 14 deals with termination and their very narrow ability to terminate the contract by the village, it basically involves like fraud or something like that. There's a warranty in Article 15, which basically applies to the equipment that they provide. And then there are representations and warranties, and then defaults and remedies. There are representations that the contractor has to perform, you know, to a standard of the industry, and there's a provision for the village to notify if there's a default, if there's a problem, and then there's a cure period and that sort of thing. You know, we'd have to know more about the particular problem that was here and how they operated under the agreement. The article, I haven't seen the article, so there's nothing here that stands out as being crazy. I mean, they make representations that they're going to perform, you know, well. Right. And a material breach of a contract is sufficient to terminate, even if it doesn't say that, and this does say it. It provides cures. So just based on my cursory review, I didn't review this before today. I wasn't asked to look at it.
Okay. All right. And then it sounds like we just maybe want to get clarification on the signal issue. Other than that, I think that's an easy way to clarify. Okay. Any further questions or comments regarding this issue? Then I'd ask the clerk to read it out loud and take the vote with that change.
Item 6H, agreement amendment, Vera Mobility, automated traffic enforcement systems, subject to making sure that the verbiage is correct. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so then item I, which is the, if I can get a motion to move it in second, then we can talk about it.
Motion to approve contract approval for professional services, Jess Gula, Terman Strategic Communications for $60,000.
Second.
Okay. Okay, I think, do you want to take this on to, yep. I know Matt's been deeply involved with this, so.
Yes. So this is a contract to work with the Jessica Tremaine group regarding the Madison Street project. The way we've engaged them to assist with the communication, which is significantly complex on this project, regarding the open houses, the social media posts, the newsletters, all of the public announcements that you've seen so far, they've helped us structure that. And so we would like to officially put them on a contract in order to help it be a little bit easier to manage from either side. We're setting a $10,000 monthly fee from now until June. So that's why it's $60,000 and it's even.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So we've been working with them on a non-contractual basis up to now?
Yes, that's correct. The invoices previously fell under Matt's authority.
Yeah, okay. I was confused because the scope of work, especially with the date of the contract being December 22nd, mm-hmm. 2025, the scope of work felt like there were items that maybe had already happened in terms of like the open house. And so I want to be clear about like what they are going to be doing for us. I don't know that I saw. Okay. So is the termination date then June 1st, 2026?
Yes, for this contract.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. To me, it's not entirely clear. Is it June 1st or is it June 30th?
I think it's June 30th.
Yeah, it's June 30th.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The month of the last invoice would come on June 1st. Okay. The way that it's scheduled.
Okay. I guess I just want to be clear about what they are going to be doing for us, and it didn't feel, because some of the scope of the work felt back, like that it wasn't clear.
I can understand that. So when they provided this to us was in December. And at that point we were in the early stages of planning the open houses. We were not sure exactly that we were going to have the third open house at that point, based on the weather and how the first two open houses were received. We decided to hold the third one. And so that's why we felt like it was appropriate to include in the contract, because we were not sure if there was going to continue to be them. They also refer to the open houses as what we know in the DRB process as the neighborhood meeting, which is simply a terminology usage, but they would be assisting with throughout that DRB process as well.
So I guess my question is, you know, and here it says the project will begin January 2026 and conclude June 30th, 2026. But I think that we've probably already paid them for January. So is this February, or March 2026?
It could be retroactive. I think it's,
yeah, it's retroactive.
Retroactive.
Mm-hmm. We've actually just received the January invoice, I believe, because the contract had not been approved prior to tonight.
Okay.
So if you were to repackage this, mm-hmm. so Matt, under his signing authority, could have paid a December bill up to $10,000.
Yes.
And then a January bill up to $10,000.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe if to make it cleaner, maybe we start the contract February 1st and adjust it, and under Matt's authority, have him be able to pay the December, January invoices.
Yeah, that's okay.
Are we then saying that we're paying them $60,000 plus additional $20,000 from December and January?
I'm suggesting if the intent was that we're going to pay them $60,000 for the duration of it, then we just figure out what the math is between now and the end.
But why? Because there's
some confusion as to what's going on.
I appreciate the
given things that have transpired lately. Maybe we need to just repackage it and move it forward.
It would be February, which is 9 days into February, but you could do it from February to June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be 50,000.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would be 50 then. Is that?
Yeah, but I mean, whatever the number is, but I mean, if there's concern that,
Yeah, I mean, it's a contract that we haven't approved for work that. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't.
So. I think that's a good suggestion.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, okay, so February 1 through June 30th, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And just so I'm clear, this is the first time we've talked about Jaskulka helping us with this project?
I don't believe so. I believe Matt mentioned it at a previous meeting that we were talking about engaging Jaskulka again,
but the board has not voted on it before.
No.
Okay. The board just had the invoices and the monthly bills before,
so that was under Matt's mm-hmm. authority to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I had a similar question when I saw this in the packet about the duration of the contract. I saw the billing dates, but I didn't see any dates about the duration of the services that were being offered. So can you just say that? You might have just answered that to Erica, but I wasn't.
When I negotiated the contract with Rick, the intent was through June, the services being performed and the fees being paid through the end of June.
And it does say that under professional fees in the third paragraph.
Yeah.
And can you include on June 30th? Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Can you share with us the rationale behind why we need another vendor beyond our media vendor that we're already under contract with?
This is a firm that we have worked with before with the Neighborhood Dialogues, and they perform the services very well for us with the neighborhood engagement. And we feel like this kind of specific targeted project with a very narrow scope of the Madison Street project was better served by the Jaskulka team based on our experience with them.
So you feel more confident that the Jaskolka team can do this versus our media team, which also does the same kind of communications.
But I think there's a little continuity to what, you know, Jessica's saying is they were involved in the front end of it, and it, you know, makes sense to follow through.
I understand that they've been involved before. What I want to understand is if there's a reason that we're not using our media service vendor.
Sounds like it's
Are we confident with their service?
Yes, they perform the newsletter services for us on a weekly basis, and we're quite confident with them. And they work with, and you know, a few other services that they perform for us. But I think that in this case, it was the continuity that was an important piece.
I think I understand what you're saying,
yeah,
Trustee Cascatella, because part of the contract with that communications team is press releases, is handling communications in general for the village. And so, you know, if they are supposed to be doing that for us, why do we need another firm?
I don't want us to pay twice. And I do want us to be confident in all of the vendors that are providing services for us. So it's just sort of due diligence.
Yeah, I don't think you're paying twice, right? I mean, yeah, I think they're doing different services.
Yeah, they're doing different services. Mm-hmm. The other team does the monthly newsletters for us.
And they do social.
And social as well.
Yeah. Do we have... one of the things that I noticed in their contract is a 15% pass-through charge for anything that we pass through them. Do we have any intention of passing anything through them?
No, we do not.
Okay. Because that... I know that could add up if we're needing them to do printing or social media or other types of media engagement.
No, we have every intention of handling those fees ourselves. In fact, I have.
Okay. One of the things I noticed is that there's not a not to exceed amount in the contract, but it does have that. So if we're not using them for that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But just making sure that we're not paying an additional 15%. That kind of point.
So the Vicarious contract, they're on retainer, right? So we pay them on a monthly amount?
Yes, that's correct.
And so if we wanted them to do this, would they do it for us under that monthly retainer as opposed to us paying them an additional amount to do it?
It would be an additional amount. Their monthly retainer covers what was the monthly newsletter, the weekly newsletter now, and the social media.
Okay. And this is not the same. It's clearly not the newsletter, but the social media. I mean, this is drafting online social media content.
Only in relation to Madison Street.
Okay. And so if we wanted this to be done by Vicarious, would that fall under, at least that part, fall under the existing monthly retainer with Vicarious?
The extent that we've been creating social media posts and the management thereof, I don't believe so.
The extent that we've been creating
just for this project, all of the additional outreach that we've had, the emails, the FAQs, the fact sheet, all of that print media, that's all been the Jaskolka team. And that would be above and beyond the Vicarious agreement.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, Matt's not here. He's been very involved. And I know you have been as well in terms of both the communication. I mean, they do a lot. They push a lot of information out, I think, the door, and it helps the staff quite a bit. So, I mean, I appreciate the questions in terms of, you know, are we doubling down on things? And I think it appears that a lot of the scope of work is very different.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's not unusual in marketing communications to have a more than one company working together on a project, and they each have their unique scope and they, you know, kind of stay in their lanes. So I do think, and if there is any handoffs, those will be clear. So I'm perfectly comfortable with this. I think that we do need the extra support. This team is working very hard. And again, I think the continuity also matters.
I,
I agree. I want our team to have support. But I do worry about duplicative efforts.
And I agree. And I think, I mean, I really do trust these guys. I think they're very, I mean, not that you don't, but I think they do understand that and they really work hard. I think they push the communication team quite a bit. So I think they appreciate the concern. I don't know. I'm just talking on based on some of the experience. I see what you guys are doing. You're pushing out a lot of work.
Is Jaskolka handling the online comments from residents about the Madison development project?
Yes, they're coming into the village. I hand them off because it's one of our accounts. I hand them off and then they're monitoring them and developing the FAQs off of them and the responses if appropriate.
And to be clear, that would be for the village social media.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was talking about the feedback, the online survey for
online
only Madison Street.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yes.
Though. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? I mean, great questions and thank you so much. All right. Let's go ahead and take the vote, please.
Item 6I, contract approval, professional services. Jaskolka Terman Strategic Communications, $60,000. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Brockner?
Yes.
Okay. Brockner.
Sorry. That's a new name.
Right.
I mess up at least one person's name tonight.
Yeah. Thank God you know me. Okay, so that I think ends our evening. So if I can get a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay.
Wow.
Rez, right.
All right. Oh, and then in the wrong place.
That's right.
There we go.
All timer. All right. You can say all in favor, too. It's always good. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Say bye.
Trustee Gillis?
I think 15
yes.
minutes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
I'm holding it up. Another.
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
President Ducey?
Yes. And I want to thank Jessica on a great job first time.
Thank you.